Yes. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And yeah, it's your time to listen to business and economic matters. We are looking at what is happening in the economy from the global perspective, continental perspective, to indeed, Namibian perspective. So this is your favorite program. That is economic conversational program that is happening from 1800 hours to 1900 hours every day, and this is your business and economic segment. And we are indicating to you that for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, you are listening to David Shombe, and we are greeting you from Miguel FM Namibia. We are greeting you from this number one radio station. And yeah, as we indicated earlier, the discussion in business and economic segment are motivated by the need for transformation in terms of the way we do business, the need for transformation in terms of the way we make our policies and how we implement our policies, and the need also to relook at where the country have been in terms of economic development, in terms of infrastructure development, and indeed in terms of human development. We try to assess and see what the country has, what did Namibia go through, how are our institutions working, how is the business, the local business is being operated, and how are the SMEs in the country operating, and for the past 35 years, what have been done right, what have been done wrong, how is the relationship between Namibia and other countries, and between Namibia and other institutions such as World Bank, IMF, and indeed emerging economic power in terms of regional and global alignment such as BRICS, what is happening in the world in terms of trade laws, what is happening in terms of World Trade Organization, how is trade going. We look at critical issues such as African Agenda 2063, African Continental Free Trade Area. How is our politicians aligning their political communication with what is being implemented? What is the relationship between policy making and policy implementation? So this is your combination of everything that is related to bread and butter, because we understand that through civilizations, economy has always been at the center of human existence. The critical distribution of scarcity of mineral resources, scarcity of natural resources has always been at the center of civilization. That's why at this program, at this platform, we discuss everything that is related to bread and butter. Now, before we go to the conversation for today, before we go to what we have on the table for today, we're always indicating to you that we respect your democratic rights to contribute, to give your opinions and view about a topic being presented. And we indeed are happy and also like it when you give your views, because we understand that different perspectives and different views being brought about one topic can allow or can assist the development of the country, can assist the development of the institutions. That's why we are saying for us to build institutions are not built, innovations is not being realized with only yes men, but people who have different views, people who have different ways of thinking, people who approach things differently in a smart way. It could be that you are the person who have more experience within that field, more experience in that business, more experience in that investment, more experience in that research. Maybe you publish 7 books about the topic that we are discussing about. That's why we are saying we are accommodative to your opinion. We are accommodative to your constructive criticism, your questions, your critical analysis, and everything that has to do with assisting to move our country where it needs to be. Because, guys, when you look at where we are as a country, it's not a happy place in terms of ranking, particularly in terms of human development, index, in terms of economic ranking, in terms of our financial stability, in terms of our financial system, in terms of energy sector, in terms of the price of electricity, for example, in terms of unemployment, in terms of business participation. That's why we are indicating to you that bringing about this conversation, bringing about industrial leaders in this program is the fundamental aim of the program, and also to make sure that Namibians, they understand what is happening at the national scale, at the central government, at the institutional level, at the regional scale, at the constituency level, and also at the section level. That is the only way that we are going to build this country. And also we focus more on simplification of critical matters, simplification of critical policies, simplification of professionally written policies that are only understood, not so by a layman. But we are trying to make sure that we simplify that. We are trying to make sure that we bring that down to an SME, to an informal sector, that they understand what is happening and they can contribute to the national development of this country. Now, before we go to what we have on the table today, and also before we look at what our guest has for us, we are always, indicating to you that for you not to miss out, for you to be a very good citizen who understand what is happening locally, nationally, and also at the international level, you need to make sure that you follow us at our social media platform. Follow Eagle FM Namibia. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on X. Follow us on Instagram. And also follow us on LinkedIn, because when you follow us, those who follow you will be able to follow us, and will be able to get content and context of discussions, content and context of economic updates, what is happening in terms of legal frameworks, what is happening in terms of governance issue, what is happening in terms of international relations, and they will be able to be updated, and they will be able to get those relevant information. And the other thing is also that we have e-paper. That is, of course, the Villager newspaper. The Villager newspaper is an e-paper that is coming out every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. The Villager newspaper is an economic paper, and you can access it every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. And we are always indicating to you that if you are a student of development studies, student of economics, student of business, public management, governance, engineering, and all the sectors that are contributing to national development, you are a researcher, you are a policymaker, you are a policy researcher, you are a parliamentary researcher, make sure that you update yourself with everything which is happening, because we may be in the same field, but we have different insight. That's why, for you to get economic insight, you must read what's happening in the economic paper, what's happening in the Villager newspaper. Read that. When you read that, you can expand your thinking and the way you do things. And you can also expand your research capacity. Then you look at expansion of those topics that you find out, because we report on food security, we report on energy, we report on youth development, we report on policy issues, and we don't just report on anything, but everything that related to bread and butter. That's why we are indicating to you that for you to be a good researcher, you must be up to date with economic insight, you must be up to date with economic development, you must have right and on time statistics, so that you can be able to compare, analyze, and make meanings out of those data. After scrutinizing and analyzing them, make them information, then you can be able to write them, then you can also be able to assist them in when you are advising your leaders within your institution, when you are making policies, you must be able to have those contexts of information, and it's easier for you to make long-term strategic economic decisions when you have right data, when you have right information. That's why we are indicating to you that follow the Villager newspaper and get access to those critical and valuable information. And yeah, the other thing, before we go to what we have on the table for today, the other thing is also that we have Eagle FM app. There are always those who are asking to say, Eagle FM app, where are you? Why are we not getting connected to you? What is going on? What is going on? Why are we not getting connected to you? We are indicating to you that if you find yourself in a situation where the frequency is not reaching you, you don't need to stress yourself. If you find yourself in that situation, do not stress yourself, because in this regard, we have Eagle FM app. We have Eagle FM app. Eagle FM app is an app that you can access to by downloading Eagle FM app by going to your Play Store, your App Store. Just write Eagle FM app, download that app. When you download it, the moment you just download Eagle FM app, you'll be able to have, access to ongoing programs which are on air like this one. And you can also have access to our open archive of previous programs that I found at the podcast. Then you can listen at your own time and at your own pace. Last but not least, we have Imba app. Imba app is a smart way of accessing your hymn book in a digital version. So for you to access your hymn book in a digital version, because if you find yourself at a place where you are not able to access, or you do not have a hymn book hard copy, but you are called either in a congregation, you're called at a graduation ceremony, you need to sing something, you need to give words of motivation, but you do not have that. You can even be a pastor who forgot his hymn book. But instead of scratching your head, just understand that we got you to that extent that you can download Imba app. When you download Imba app, you have access to the digital version of your hymn book. And that is in different languages, different local Namibian languages, such as Oshiwambo, that is a Hangano, we have Ocherero, Maimburiro, we have Afrikaans, we have Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So download Imba app and find a smart way of working together with time, and also update yourself with what is happening, particularly when it's coming to smart ways of doing things. So, dear listeners, we are going to a short commercial break. Then from there, we look at what do we have on the table for today? What do we have on the table for today? What is the discussion on the table? And how is this discussion going to be relevant, especially when it's coming to economic development of the country, and also the way we do things, and how we can advance our economy, infrastructure, and indeed human development. Yes, dear listeners, welcome back to Business and Economic segment. Today on the table, we are going to talk about financial inclusion. What is financial inclusion, and what is the relevance of financial inclusion to national development? We are going to be engaged on the studio by our guest, that is Cecilia Nekwaya from Bank of Namibia. And we are going to engage her, especially when we are going to relate to what have been recently happening, particularly in the financial sector. You are able to understand that apart from Bank of Namibia assessing the resilience of the Namibian economy, assessing the stability of Namibian economy, one will also be able to go back and look at what Bank of Namibia have done, especially when it's coming to launching of financial transformation sector a strategy. And for those of you who do not understand what is that is, that is a 10-year plan by Bank of Namibia to look at how they can assist Namibians in to make sure that Namibian economy is protected, to make sure that citizens are protected, citizens are given opportunity also to participate in the economy. Informal sectors, particularly smaller businesses, are part of policies. And if this, what they are saying, is going to be, implemented, and how it's going to impact the lives of people on the ground. And Bank of Namibia is a regulator, a central bank, has power to protect the Namibian economy, has also power to control the way the finance is being used, and also has also power to make sure that when it's coming to the economic stability, they know how to regulate that, and also they also have power to protect smaller businesses and also prevent the economy of any state to collapse. That's why we are always very happy when we have a guest from Bank of Namibia, from Central Bank. That is where the money is being made. And also to listen to what is the bank saying, and what are some of the things on the pipeline, especially when it's coming to drive or turn around the economy. Now, apart from financial sector transformation strategy, which was launched, we have seen a development, particularly when it's coming to financial access, which in simple term, it means ability of a person to have access to finance. Ability of, let me say somebody is deep down the village, how do you access your finance? Where do you bank? Ask your question that way. Do you bank? Do you have power to get loans? Do you have power to get a grant? How do you deal with finance? Are you banking under the table? Or do you understand what is going on when it's coming to financial access? Do you understand the requirements and regulations? And how many SMEs do we have in Namibia which are closing just 3 months after they are launched? Because when you compare with the weight of FNB, head of SME development, De Jong stated that although many SMEs are opened, 60% of these SMEs they close down 3 months after they are registered. And one of the main problems which have been around is that access to finance. People have good ideas. People want to start businesses, but they do not have access to finance. However, now the government, together with Central Bank, they are trying to make sure, or they indicate rather in their strategies to say by 2035, 70% of businesses, even the unregistered one, can have a right and opportunity to go to a bank. Let me say, you can go to FNB, you can go to Bank Windhoek. That's what they are saying. 70% of those smaller businesses, informal businesses, can go to that and say, no, I want 30,000, for example. I want to increase my stock. I want 20,000, for example, I want to increase my stock. And I'm going to pay you without asking for collateral. Now, there's a bit of a conundrum, especially when it's coming to access to finance and also understanding how to use finance. Because if you compare, If you compare the report of NAMFISA, which stated that the end of 2024, Namibians owed around 8.1 billion to cash loans, 8.1 billion to cash loans, owed to cash loans. That's end of 2024. Where are we standing? We have also seen recent events of, unfortunate events of people taking their lives because of financial, pressure, being in debt, and a lot of things. That's why there's a bit of a conundrum to say, what is the difference between access to finance and know how to use finance? Because if you give me opportunity to have access to finance, just like you give me an opportunity to have access to loan, let me say you give me an opportunity to have access to loan of up to 1 million, and then I don't know how to use that money. Me owing you 1 million is going to put me under pressure. It's going to put me under financial stress. It's going to make me to go and look for another loan so I can pay you, or it's going to put me in bankruptcy. Because I'm at minus 1 million. Now there is, now these are the questions that we're going to ask our guests to say, now in terms of now you teaching people that they have a right to get loans, or they are going to be assisted to get loans, how are you going to educate them on how to manage their finance? Because there's a big difference between you having access to finance as a business and you have ability to manage that money that you are getting, so that you can pay back the loan. So dear listeners, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, for those of you who are coming on the radio, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. You are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And just in a short period of time, we are going to be joined by Cecilia Nekwaya. He's a principal economist at Bank of Namibia. And she's one of the leading experts, especially when it's coming to the financial transformation strategy, how to assist Namibians to have access to finance, even when you do not have bank accounts, even when you do not have a smartphone, you don't have an app, but how to get access even deep down the village. And I'm going to ask her questions, and I'm also going to a bit reference what the deputy governor of Bank of Namibia have said. That is, of course, Ebsen Wanguta, especially in today when they launched the financial inclusion awareness campaign, I'm going to ask you about this campaign. I'm also going to ask you about how are they going to measure this effectiveness. What content are they going to use? What is the difference between what they are going to use? Because you find a situation where even an economics teacher or an accountant failing to manage his finance. What about me, an ordinary David? If a teacher of business management or a lecturer of business management is also in debt, what content are they going to use to make sure that they teach and they transform the Namibian sector, which indeed is a very good ambition to improve the sector and also to allow Namibians to be part of the financial system and maybe to also assist with reduction of economic inequality that has been, demoralizing us, economic inequality that has been, put Namibia at the top ranking for not so good reasons. So, dear listeners, just after the short period of time, we are going to listen to my conversation with Cecilia Nekwaya from Bank of Namibia. So stay tuned. Yes, we are continuing with the business and economic segment. We are looking at the economic development. We are looking at what is happening around, particularly in terms of the financial sector. And as it indicated today, the central bank, Bank of Namibia, has launched a financial inclusion, awareness campaign that is aiming to educate Namibians about finance and access to finance, and also aiming to improve the economic development of the country, and also accommodating every person to participate in the economy of Namibia. So to help me unpack this, I'm joined by the principal economist from Bank of Namibia, that is of course Cecilia Nekwaya, who is one of the leading experts within Bank of Namibia, just to help us to unpack this financial inclusion awareness campaign, the importance of it, and maybe also to look at what are some of the gaps in Namibian economy and how far is this campaign going to be. Cecilia Nekwaya, good evening and welcome to Business and Economic Segment.
Thank you very much. Good evening to you too.
Yes, well, let us start with maybe what motivated Bank of Namibia to come up with this financial inclusion awareness campaign, or a bit of a background about this campaign, and what are some of the gaps that you have identified in the Namibian economy, especially to come to this point of launching this campaign?
Right. Thank you very much for your question. So the background to this financial inclusion awareness campaign comes from two areas, right?
Yeah.
So you are aware that we recently launched the Namibia Financial Sector Transformation Strategy just last week.
Yeah.
And within this strategy, we have financial inclusion as a pillar,
mm-hmm.
right? That is one of the pillars that we want to pursue in this new strategy for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And then you're also aware that we have an upcoming global policy event, a very big event happening in September in Swakopmund. It's called the Global Policy Forum on Financial.
Yes.
So the preparatory work for both this event that's coming and the consultations that we held on the financial sector strategy unearthed a number of gaps in understanding with the general public when it comes to financial inclusion. So we picked up that our consumers, most of our stakeholders, are not really familiar with the concept itself.
Mm.
And when I say the concept, I mean financial inclusion consists of three pillars. There is your goals to enhance access, to make sure that individuals, businesses have access to reliable, timely, affordable financial services.
Mm.
And then there's the work that you do to make sure that your consumers are educated and can participate meaningfully. That's financial literacy. Then there's the consumer protection element, where you make sure that these consumers that you are bringing into the financial system, in the formal financial system, as educated as they are able to receive protection through when they make complaints and when they encounter malpractices within the financial system. So that those are the three concepts that fall within financial inclusion. And how we identified the gap was we realized that while there is a lot happening under access, there is a lot happening under financial literacy. For example, we know that Namibia has a financial literacy initiative that's housed at the Ministry of Finance, and they engage with consumers on a monthly, daily basis, almost undertaking trainings and so forth. And then we also know that the two regulators have complaints units where consumers can lodge complaints with a bank and also with NAMFISA when they're dealing with a non-bank financial institution. But then we picked up that consumers are not really aware, or the public or the stakeholders are not really aware how these three activities or three concepts tie in and what that is financial inclusion. So that is where we came up with the motivation to launch this awareness campaign and really drive increase an understanding and create an understanding around the three building blocks of financial inclusion and raise that awareness within the Namibian populace, both for the future to support the implementation of the Namibia financial sector strategy, but also to carry the consumers along as we are going to host this big event so that everybody understands what it is, why it matters for Namibia, why are we celebrating this big event, why are we hosting this big event in Namibia. So we really just want to create that awareness and sensitize our stakeholders and the general public about this concept of financial inclusion.
Yes, somebody may want to know how is this going to change the life of somebody. Let me say, looking at the speech of the Deputy Governor of Bank of Namibia, he spoke about everybody to be part of, you know, to access finance. Let me say, somebody is a farmer, for example, deep down or poor there. How is this campaign going to impact him, and how is this going to change the way he approach finance, and also how he can improve his life as an ordinary person?
Okay. So on the campaign, we are working with awareness, increasing awareness. And what do we want to achieve with this awareness at the end of the day? There are five things that will come out of this campaign. On economic empowerment, when people can access and use financial services, they are able to save, they are able to invest, and they're able to manage risks, right? So if you have a bank account or you have an insurance product or you are able to access credit, look at what the digital credit facility that was recently launched by one of our stakeholders, or the microfinance products, or the normal credit lines that are available at financial institutions. So this contributes to a more resilient household and communities, right? When they're able to access finance, they are able to save for the future and for emergencies, and they're able to shield themselves in terms of emergencies through insurance. Now, on entrepreneurship, financial inclusion opens the doors for small business owners, especially your informal and your micro enterprises, to access credit and access those tools that they can that can help them to grow their business and create jobs. Financial inclusion doesn't just push for access to credit. It also pushes for financial literacy, where if a business doesn't require access, they can then be trained, receive the training, the mentoring, and build the necessary capacity to be able to manage and run its business, right? And then there's also poverty reduction. You are looking at if homes and individuals are able to have those financial tools such as savings accounts, where they have ease of access through mobile money, they have low-cost insurance, and can help low-income individuals manage their irregular income. And this will also help them to respond to shocks and break the cycle of poverty, right? So access in itself, like our Digi indicator today, financial inclusion is not the means to the end, right? But it is an enabler.
Okay.
So because of those three pillars within financial inclusion, you can target, you know, come up with products, financial service providers can come up with targeted products for women, targeted products for youth, targeted products for your disabled populations, your pensioners, and your rural population. So that is the whole concept that financial inclusion encompasses, really.
Yeah.
In summary, yeah.
Yes, Cecilia, while we are there, I want to...
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Summary, yeah.
Yes, Cecilia, while we are there, I want us to look at information dissemination. We have a bit of a problem, especially us from the media, where we see, I was trying to look at, even at young professionals to try to summarize to them to say, no, for example, Bank of Namibia has like you indicated, the financial transformation sector strategy. And also... I think the financial stability report that was launched in April, now the problem that we have in Namibia is information dissemination, because you find very content-based information, particularly from financial institutions, but to reach an ordinary Namibian and to see how this person can participate, you find it very difficult because you guys, you speak at your professional level, you speak as economists, as bankers, but how is this campaign going to be simplified to reach an ordinary person who is on the ground? Because what we see in most cases is that relevant information not reaching right people. How is this going to reach a person at an informal area, especially when it's coming to that?
Yeah. So in terms of the approach that we have taken for this event, for this campaign, it's really to say that we want to work together with the media, right? Mm. And starting with today, with the awareness, the launch of this awareness campaign, where we invited the media and we want the media to disseminate this information, right?
Mm.
To write about it, to translate it. We want this information to feature on all the various platforms that can be used as tools to access the rural communities and all of the communities that will benefit from this information. That's one.
Mm.
And that is also why we have always carried the media along in all of our engagements, in all of our communications, because we recognize the role, the critical role that media plays in really making sure that the necessary information gets down to the people on the ground. That's one.
Mm.
The other approach that we will be taking in the coming weeks is that we will be having interviews on TV, we will be having interviews on radio, and we will be, you know, communicating and breaking down the information even into smaller parts.
Yeah.
Today we had an interview on this same financial inclusion in Oshiwambo, for example. One of our colleagues was, you know, conducted this interview in Oshiwambo, and this is the type of request that we are looking forward to receiving from the media as well to help us break down this information. But on financial literacy specifically, we in the past, what they have done is they have developed booklets, right?
Mm.
And in addition to going into the regions and engaging the communities live and directly, they've also developed booklets, and in the coming campaigns that you will see, or in the coming months, with the digital financial literacy, let's just start with the digital financial literacy booklet that we are finalizing now together with the FLI at the Ministry of Finance. One of the key decisions we've taken is to say that this booklet will be translated in different languages.
Yeah.
So that it's broken down, but not just we're leaving it to for self-interpretation ahead and engage the village community, the village elders.
Hmm.
We want to transform them into the trainers of trainers going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So these are people, that stakeholders that we have identified in this upcoming, in the implementation of the upcoming of the strategy we launched. To say we want to break down policy. We want to bring it down to the level of people.
Mm-hmm.
We want to host town hall meetings every year, taking them along in terms of the progress that we are making with financial sector development, with this strategy on financial inclusion. What is the information that's coming out? We are trying to establish those value chains between those information channels with our regional governor's offices, with the councillors, right? Mm-hmm. So that we can disseminate information down to the council level, down to the governor's office level, mm-hmm. and then they will be the champions on the ground,
uh-huh.
you know,
yes.
making sure that their community, their voices
ahead. Yeah.
Through, yeah.
Yes. Cecilia, just before I let you go, let us look at the issues related to informal sector, especially mm-hmm. there was a concern, especially when it's coming to, you know, financial inclusion and also, the thing of financial access. Recently, we have seen the launch of initiatives such as MTC Taba Maris Instant Loan, and which is part of the short loan services. I understand it went through your office through Bank of Namibia to regulate it and also to allow informal operators to have access to up to 1,500. Now.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a contradiction here because we have seen, like, the report of Nafisa, which indicated that by end of 2024 last year, Namibia owed around 8.1 billion to cash loans. Now, how is this going to be balanced? Looking at the fact that as we are now, Namibia is still one of the highest unequal countries in terms of the economy, and have a lot of poor people compared to those who have. How are you going to navigate through that, having access and also understanding how to use money?
How to use, and that what you just mentioned now is one of the dilemmas we face, and any country that pursues financial inclusion, they face that dilemma, right? Because you want to make sure that those who need credit, you know, to grow their business or just for an emergency, have access to an avenue where they can access that credit, right?
Yeah.
And that's why we appreciate innovative solutions that come into the market that make it easy for your ordinary citizens that cannot get access from your day-to-day, your traditional financial services.
Yeah.
We appreciate those solutions that come in. But then you also have responsible usage of these facilities, right? When credit is available, there are certain consumers that engage irresponsibly and use these for the wrong purposes and not use the credit for productive activities, for example. And this is now where, that's why financial inclusion has that key element of financial literacy, where as you pursue access, you want to make sure that you strengthen your financial literacy efforts so that you can support communities. And it's not just, surprisingly, it's not just your informal traders. It's not just the informal sector or your rural recipients that engage responsibly with debt. Even us, the professionals, you know, you find that we are heavily indebted, and that speaks to a broad literacy issue, financial literacy issue. If you look at our pensioners falling prey to illegal schemes, it's again financial literacy. So, over the years, in the previous strategy, what we tried to do with financial literacy, we started some engagements around trying to integrate it into the school curriculum. And that is something that we want to pursue heavily with this new strategy.
I think that is a good point, because people are also speaking about that it will be integrated in education curriculum, because even a teacher of economics or a teacher of accounting end up in depth where he was supposed to be the leader in that area.
Financial literacy has to do with behavior and attitudes, right? So it's a discipline issue. And we have a lot of social issues. I mean, we have people sitting at the shebeens every day, drinking, you understand what I'm trying to say, consuming alcohol in an irresponsible manner. So this, again, comes back to that level of discipline that you engage with when you are engaging with your finances. So it's a big problem. We are not saying that it's only low-income earners that need financial literacy. Everyone in Namibia needs financial literacy. And with this campaign and with the digital financial literacy book booklet that we will be launching, and the launch of the digital financial literacy program that we'll be pursuing in the coming months, we really hope that we can contribute to having a financially literate Namibian populace that is responsible, that engages with financial services responsibly.
Yes, Cecilia, just the last two questions before I let you go. The question is, what is unique from the content that you are giving? Because there have been a little bit of financial literacy going on. And what is different from this campaign? And what are some of the tools that you are going to use to measure the success of this campaign? And maybe just to end to that, who are the stakeholders that are working in developing this content?
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's unique about this campaign is for the Financial Inclusion Awareness one, that it's the first time. We've never done an awareness campaign on financial inclusion, first of all. We have, from a policy point of view, measured the impact. We've come up with products, we've come up with strategies, the financial institutions have come up with products, and we have over the years really just taken a step back to measure, you know, the level in terms of data statistics-wise. And we have been interrogating that data very closely. We've been studying it and realized, yes, there are gaps and we need to do more. So that is what prompted this campaign. And with this financial sector strategy, as we implement it, we want to do better. We want to do more. We want to make sure that, you know, we don't only increase the financial inclusion rate from its current rate of 78%, but we want to see impact. We want to see MSMEs. We want to see the informal sector being accessing credit, accessing finance, accessing financial support. We want to see our communities, our individuals respond, behaving responsibly, engaging responsibly, not giving out personal information, for example. So that's what's unique about this. And in terms of the approach, the approach that we made when we were doing the consultations on the financial sector strategy, we promised ourselves one thing. We said, as a secretariat responsible for the financial sector strategy, we will be going back every year to the consumers to engage them, right, on the progress. But we are supporting now the financial literacy initiative through this content development. So they've been developing content, but we are now bringing in the blend of the digital financial literacy side. We are taking stock of what's happening in payment systems, what's happening in the banking space, what are these digital technologies, these new platforms that are coming out, what are these investment tools that are coming out, platforms, how do we educate our consumers so that they are aware, how do we train? So that is the approach, the unique one that we are also bringing in addition to launching a financial inclusion awareness campaign. And developing a digital financial literacy program in addition to the financial literacy initiative that we already have. Now, in terms of measuring impact, we will still continue undertaking our surveys as we have done in the past. I think with this awareness, we are hoping that, and one of the challenges that we experienced in the past with consistently taking undertaking the survey. So in the first strategy, we had planned that we will be undertaking a financial inclusion survey every 3 years, where we track the impact of our financial inclusion initiatives and we are able to get updated information. But in the previous strategy, we only undertook two surveys, one in 2011, where the financial inclusion level was around 50-something. It's now not at the top of my head. And then we've increased to 78% in 2017, and we've not undertaken any survey since. The next one is under planning now. It's one, NSA is in the field. They are piloting now on financial inclusion survey, and the results, they'll probably undertake it at, towards the end of this year, and the results will be ready next year. But what we are saying with this awareness campaign, we want to bring everyone on board. Once our stakeholders and everyone is aware of the importance of financial inclusion, we anticipate to, you know, get that support to be able to carry out these surveys more frequently and get this information more frequently so that we can be able to answer your question more confidently, to say in the next 5 months we will be able to tell you the impact that our campaign has had, because this is what the data is telling us. But the data that's going to come out from this NSA survey is going to capture all the efforts that we have employed since the last survey, and including the ones that we are employing now.
Yes, Celia, maybe the last question. You know, I was very impressed by the presentation that you made, especially in the launch of BON financial sector transformation strategy. And one of the things that I picked up, especially looking at the strategies, that this a set target, and I think this is also going to benefit our listeners, especially when it's coming to smaller businesses or informal businesses. In your financial sector transformation strategy, it is it's indicated that by 2035, there is a target outcome of 70% of, you know, informal businesses to have access to financial services, to formal financial services such as banks. How is this going to be done, and maybe what is I don't want to say what is the reality in this, but how is this going to be achieved, and are we seeing this going to be the reality on the ground by 2035? Then maybe the last one is a gap, because I realized that when I was trying to see the gap, because the previous transformation strategy is 2011 to 2021, right?
Yeah.
What was happening between 2021 and 2024?
Let me start with your first question.
Okay.
So when we took this strategy to our policymakers,
yeah,
one thing that we were advised to do was to set ambitious targets. You
okay.
know, our government is very, very serious about access and financial inclusion.
Yeah.
And the bank has already started, you know, some work. You know the work that's happening with the instant payment, right?
Yeah.
So that is going to be the universal equalizer in Namibia in terms of really creating that platform where innovators, financial service providers can have an opportunity to offer products, be creative. And MTC has already started. That's the type of innovation that we anticipate to see once we have the instant payment launched.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you imagine if people have access to microloans,
mm-hmm.
if people have access to microinsurance,
mm-hmm.
they're able to shield, to take out insurance for their products. They're able to access credit, you know,
mm-hmm.
to pay for their goods and grow their businesses. So
yeah.
that is the kind of thinking that went behind the targets that we set.
Yeah.
We looked at the potential that technology brings. Everybody has a mobile phone,
yeah.
and the mobile phone is going to be your new banking app, right?
Yeah.
You can apply for a loan. You can apply for insurance. You can save on your phone.
Mm.
That's the kind of access. And we are looking at the information that's coming out of this mobile phone being the one that financial service providers, fintechs, can now use to extend credit to the informal sector. Right now, they don't have any track record because they deal in cash.
Mm-hmm.
There's no track record. If they don't,
the views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
But when you have everything on your phone, you can open a bank account immediately, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can open a wallet account with your phone, and you can have this one is for my business, this one is. So that is the kind of access we are talking about with all of these opportunities that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what informed that target, and I'm confident that we have 10 years that we will be able to achieve that.
Yeah, okay.
And then on your second question on the strategy,
mm-hmm.
So the strategy ended in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
We had a consultant undertaking an independent assessment of the achievement. So they undertook a diagnostic of the previous strategy to say what has worked, what has not worked.
Yeah.
And then that then informed the work to develop a new one.
So it took you around 4 years to do an assessment?
No.
Yeah.
The assessment was done between 2022. So the whole of 2022, they were undertaking that assessment, engaging with the stakeholders. I mean, the financial sector is quite broad.
Mm.
And then towards the end of 2022, we then started with a skeleton draft.
Mm-hmm.
But we had them to go back to our stakeholders. Like I explained at the launch of the strategy, this strategy was co-created. And with anything that you co-create with multiple parties, it will take some time because, you know, you have to factor in everyone's voice. You need to do some research around what's possible, what's not, what are the implications of these decisions. So that was part of the reason why it took a bit of time, but also with the political changes initially we would have gotten our approval probably already beginning of this year, towards the end of last year, but then we had some other consultations. We were directed to conduct consultations and engagements, and then we waited for the changes And then, yeah.
So the
new council.
Okay, the next
then
one.
Then we had to do some lobbying to take the new council through.
Uh-huh.
We had worked, what is the motivation, and really convince them.
Mm-hmm. No. You know, it's quite a very beautiful document, and I just hope what is on paper will really be, you know, implemented. I like it very much. It's quite a very good document. But Cecilia Nekwa, thank you very much. Words of mouth cannot express the gratitude of you taking your time and also be with us at Business and Economic Segment. But thank you very much for your time, and also thank you for your input.
No, thank you very much, first of all, for having me. Thank you for your presence today,
yeah.
And also just the opportunity that you have in really supporting us and the Namibian nation to be the voice that brings the voice to the people.
Thank you.
The message to the people. So we trust you with that.
All right, cool.
All right. Thank you so much.
Chup.
Bye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Omutia, with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. She goes a fast and anana, longish fa, ya, she we demo she wana. E. Moyao, or Tango got it some money. Anna gish fa, Yanamibia, on Pitom Banawa, or Jika. Say Sanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongish Fayo, Kupitramo, Igelefem Media House. Way 20 Mimiha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara onkwashi pareki uimopo yo mo programa letu. Moambo, lengera selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamanotano, o niaj. Igel FM, the high.